Micah chapter 3. I know our webmaster likes this, all these little short chapters. Makes it a little bit easier for him to put them on the web. And there's not a whole bunch of chapters either. There's, you know, some of these smaller books. He said, did you ever preach a single tape? Oh, bless his heart, he's a wonderful man. Chapter 3 of Micah, verse 1. And I said, hear, I pray you, O heads of Jacob, and you princes of the house of Israel, is it not for you to know judgment, who hate good and love the evil, who pluck off their skin from off them and their flesh from off their bones, who also eat the flesh of my people and flay their skin from off them, and they break their bones and chop them in pieces as for the pot and as flesh within the cauldron? Then shall they cry unto the Lord, but he will not hear them. He will even hide his face from them at that time, as they have behaved themselves ill in their doings. Thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that make my people err, that bite with their teeth and cry peace, and he that putteth not into their mouths, they even prepare war against him. Therefore night shall be unto you, that you shall not have a vision, and ye shall not divine, and the sun shall go down over the prophets, and the day shall be dark over them. Then shall the seers be ashamed and the diviners confounded. Yea, they shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer of God. But truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord and of judgment and might to declare unto Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin. Hear this, I pray you, heads of the house of Jacob and princes of the house of Israel, that abhor judgment and pervert all equity. They build up Zion with blood and Jerusalem with iniquity. The heads thereof for reward, and the priests thereof teach for hire, and the prophets thereof divine for money. Yet will they lean upon the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? None evil can come upon us. Therefore shall Zion, for your sake, be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountains of the house as the high places of the forest. Father, we ask this morning that you would truly settle in our minds with peace, that we may truly hear and confidently and intelligently discern by your Spirit the things that are being said in this language. Father, we know that we are a people of dull understanding, but Father, by your Spirit, you can clarify and adjust the sound into our spirit so sharp that it'll wake us up. And Father, truly that's what this word has been meant to do. It's to go inside of us and to wake us from our sleep and bring us back to the reality of our true identity in you. Father, may we truly see our Genesis face and never turn away and forget what manner of man we are again. May we always remember that we are your son, and may we truly come to the place where we act and walk like sons of God upon the face of the earth. We bless you for this morning. Amen. Okay, chapter 3, verse 1. And I said, hear, I pray you now. Literally, it should say this. And hear intelligently. It's the word shama. To hear intelligently with the intent to do what? See? So when I hear, he's saying, I want you to hear this, but I want you not just to hear it with your ears. I want you to be able to hear it and then do what you hear. Does that make sense? Because there's no sense of hearing what God says if we don't do anything about it. We just let it bounce off our eardrums and fall on the floor. But let this thing get deep down in our heart and let it begin to stir and wake us up that we can do what God wants us to do. Does that make sense? Okay. You know, God usually makes sense. Religion won't. But God will make sense in everything that he says. Okay. He said, and I said, hear with the intent to respond, and the word I pray you should be now. Hear what I say when? Now. Okay? Hear. Okay? So let me hear it now. Oh, the houses of Israel. Who's he talking to, the house of Israel? See? The leaders of the head of Jacob, rather, and the princes of the house of Israel. Who's he talking to? Leadership. And today he's talking to leadership more than ever. It's important that the leadership walk in a place that is undefiled. See, I can't walk in a place of total disregard and abandon to everything God says and still say I'm a preacher and I'm God's preacher. See, today, if any time, it's probably no worse than any other time. We just have the news media to bring it out. What has fallen to all the leadership just about of all the church worlds? Every nasty, vile perversion you can think of. Child molestation, prostitution, thieving, selling drugs. I mean, I had a guy one time tell me he was upset about something I was preaching. I said, what are you bitter about? And he said, well, I just don't like what you're saying. He said, I used to preach, but I never preached like that. I said, oh, you was a minister? And he said, yes. I said, well, what happened to your ministry? He said, well, I lost it. I said, well, how'd you lose it? And he said, well, I got caught selling crack. He was a minister of God selling crack cocaine and saying that's okay, and he was bitter because God took it away from him. Oh, really? I mean, come on. But that's the kind of things that's going on. Men and women in the ministry sleeping around, doing all kinds of things. I mean, you just name it. They're doing it, and they still say it. God's not going to have that. If you're going to walk as a minister, you know what you're going to do? You're going to walk holy and righteous. You're not going to live this kind of stuff. This isn't legalism. I'm not telling you you have to do anything. See, because you're going to do what your heart tells you. And if my heart is the heart of God, I can't do those things. I'm not saying don't do them. I'm saying I can't do them. Doesn't it say in John, he that is born of God cannot sin? Now, it's not something you can just name and claim and say, and I'm close, Bob. I'm close. It's not something you can name and claim. This is something that's in your heart, that God put in your heart. See, it's not something I want to do because my flesh is no different from your flesh. It liked to run and play and do all them things the world has to offer. But what good did that do me? It left me with headaches and body aches and pains and sorrows and every kind of nasty, evil thing you can think of. That's what I had. And I didn't feel good in the mornings when I got up. But now, guess what? I can get up in the midst of pain and aggravation and frustration and just smile. Because he brought that peace in there. See? And I have seen the difference. I don't want no part of it. See? I don't want it. No one can tempt me with that world again. You know why? Because it didn't do anything good for me. I can see the difference. My eyes are open now. There's nothing in that world that's good. Doesn't the book say that if you love the world, you're the enemy of God? See? You can't love the world and love God too. Can't work. I know people say that, oh, right in the midst of all the problems, oh, I love God with all my heart. No, if you did, you wouldn't be in the midst of all your problems. See, the problem is you don't love God as much as you say you do. If I love God with all my heart, I'm going to walk through some things, but I won't be doing some of the things I used to do. That's all I'm saying. See, I will change. If I really love with all my heart, could I break any of his commandments? See? And the great commandment is what? Love. Okay, then how could I not love anybody and say I'm a son of God? Whoa. Don't get too quiet on me. They're Arabs. Oh, that's right. Can you hate Arabs?
No.
Oh, okay. That's what some people think. Some people think it, but see, all of them are gods. I don't understand what they're doing, but I don't mean I hate them. I love them all. I don't care where they are in God's kingdom. They're in there somewhere. Oh, they're just a tool God's using for you. See? Remember what Steve read earlier in Psalm 17:13? Lord, deliver me from the wicked, which is your sword. All them aggravating people that come and aggravate you, God sent them. Bless God for them. Give thanks in what? All things, even the aggravations. God sent them to you to help you. God sent them to you to help you. And if you get angry with them, I'm going to tell you what, you're not utilizing the full benefit God has given you. And the book says, forget not all my benefits. God has given you a benefit, all these benefits that are free. He can give you all the aggravation, frustration, pain, and suffering you can ever stand, and it won't cost you a dime. It's free. But if you'll let God use it in you and have its perfect work in you, you'll come out with the peace of God in your life, and you don't care what anybody else says. you'll know what God says. And that's the main thing, hearing what God says in the midst of all this. Okay? Is it not for you to know what? The literal language literally says justice. See, judgment carries a connotation with it that it's something doom. You're going to get it. See, justice means this. And that's what the language says, justice. It means you're going to get what's fair. See, and that doesn't mean bad. It could be good or bad. You're going to get what you deserve. See, now when we look at ourselves, what do we get? What do we deserve? What do we deserve? Someone tell me. Oh, if you're looking at the flesh, excuse me, I'm not looking there any longer. What am I looking at? The Spirit. And since He died and His blood covered the sins of the whole world, when I look at myself now, I say, hey, He's a mess, but thank God for the blood. Thank God He covered me, see? And that don't give me a license to do anything I want to do. It just means, whew, thank God for His mercy and grace. See, He stepped in there to cover me. But I'm not going to be condemned because I know better. Because there's no condemnation in God, in Christ. Right? Romans 8:1. There's no condemnation. I'm in Christ. There's no condemnation. So I'm free. And he goes ahead and says here in verse 2 and 3, I'll just put them together, who hate good and love evil, who pluck off their skin from off them and their flesh from off their bones, who also consume the flesh of my people and flay their skin from off them. They break their bones, and that's their structure and their strength, support, and chop them in pieces as for the pot and as flesh within the cauldron. So it's saying they chop them up, put them in a big pot, and boil them and eat them. And that's exactly what the ministry does today. It chops people up. It tells them how bad they are. It tells you how wicked you are, how bad of a sinner you are. Now say, now, brother, come and confess your sins. Yeah, so they can take and talk about you. See, that's all they want it for. Do they ever say, we forgive you? Jesus said this, sons of God can stand upon this earth and forgive sin. Why don't they do it? Why are they condemning you with sin when he says, if you come to it, whatever you remit on this earth, whoever sins you remit or what? Remitted? If you retain them, whatever they'll do, they'll retain them. Why do I want you to carry your sin for? I want you to turn it loose and be free. He said you can remit the sin. He said, I want to show you this. There was a man that was supposed to pick up his bed. He was crippled. He healed him. He said, to show you that man, the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive what? Sin. He said, pick up your bed and walk. He hadn't even healed the man yet. He just told him, pick it up and walk. Go ahead. And then he said, come back, said, now, oh no, excuse me, I said that wrong. He said, first of all, your sins be forgiven you. Now pick up your bed and walk. Say, why? Because the burden was off of him. See, now the burden's off of you. Now why can't you do anything you want to? Right? You're set at liberty to do what you need to do. God does not want you condemned. But the church world has condemned, it chopped you up, put you in a pot and cooked you. That's what they're doing every day. You go into most church service this morning, that's what they're doing. They're speaking condemnation and guilt to everybody in the church. Unless you're the ones that put the big money in and sit in the front row. Okay? Sure it is. Okay. Let me read a couple scriptures to you, okay? In this verse 3 and 4. I want to read some things out of Matthew chapter 7. I think Jesus knew exactly what he was talking about here. Verse 15. Is that right? Yeah. In chapter 7 of Matthew, verse 15, he says this, beware of what? Religious imposters, false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing. That means they put the white cover on the outside, and the inside's full of all kinds of abominations and stuff. Matthew 7, 15. Beware of false prophets, okay? Which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. That means inside they have the nature of the beast. And that nature of the beast is to consume, to tear and destroy, isn't it? And that's why he's telling you, we got ministry out here, and most ministry today has the sheep's clothing on because they've been to a seminary and had their sheepskin, see? But inside they still got the beastly nature. You can't be a minister of God with a beastly nature. The nature has to be changed. And this is not something you can do. This is something God did. Did you hear what I said? Did, past tense. Either you've dealt with this beastly nature through God or you haven't. Okay? And it has to be dealt with before you can be the priest. You shall know them by their fruits. Hello. You know, most preachers today, they'll stand up in the pulpit and say, oh, you're a bunch of pretty people out there today. Don't forget to fill the basket up. They'll give you some way to try to get to that, okay? They'll say anything it takes to get to what they're really there for, and that is for a job, okay? It's just about a job. We're mad again, okay. You'll know them by the fruits. Do men gather grapes off the thorn bushes or figs off the thistles? Even so, every good tree brings forth fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. And a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Did you hear that? A good tree represents humanity, a good human cannot bring forth this evil stuff. If you're born of God, you cannot sin. You can't do it. And it says, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. So the people that are raving wolves inside, got the beastly nature inside, they can't bring forth no good fruit. Now this ain't me saying this, this is the word of God. He says if you got the beastly nature, you can't bring forth good fruit. Something's got to be changed. You got to let Ezekiel says, you got to let that stony heart go by the wayside and then replace it with a soft heart. Okay? Every tree that brings forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast in the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits shall you know them. See, all you've got to do is watch these people for a while. I challenge anybody, just follow me. Day and night, follow me. I hope you do. You'll find out I'm not playing a game in this thing. This is real. There's too many people that's playing it for a job, for a guaranteed job. You know what? I saw one time a letter written, people trying to encourage people to come to a seminary. You know what one of the come-ons was? Guaranteed job security. The harder things get in life, the better security you've got in the job. Can you believe that? They say, look, the world's always in trouble, so you're always going to have a demand for preachers because they always look for them when they're in trouble. Can you imagine that kind of play? You know how many people would love to have that guarantee today that the worse it gets, the better your job security is, and you can even get a raise probably every time that something bad happens. Now you tell me they're not stroking people. Okay, let's go back to Micah. No, got two other verses I wanted to read. Matthew 10, verse 16. 10, verse 16. Now, this is a good one. Remember what we were talking about earlier about all the jobs around us and everything, how bad it is? Oh, look at this one. Behold, Matthew 10:16. Oh, wait a second. Some of you are still turning. Behold, I send you forth as sheep. He didn't say sheep in wolf in sheep's clothing, did he? He said, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. All those beastly people. Be ye therefore wise as a serpent and harmless as the dove. But beware of what? Humanity. Because they will deliver you up to councils. They will scourge you for in their synagogues. And you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake for a testimony. Now, literally that word testimony is for evidence given. You being brought before the council, you being persecuted because of him and what you believe is only nothing but a witness for you. It's evidence given that you're living right. See, everybody says, oh, woe is me, they're picking on me, they're beating me up. You just put another star in my crown. Thank you very much. See, thank you very much for persecuting me. Now you're identifying me as a son of God. I can identify with the structure of everything that's being done, okay? A testimony against who? Who's it for? It's a testimony or evidence given against who? It's proven that you're doing what's right, but what's it doing to them? See, it says it's evidence against them and the Gentiles, the non-believers. But when they deliver you up, take no thought of how or what you shall speak, because it shall be given to you in the very same hour what you shall speak. For it's not you that speaks, but the Spirit of your Father which speaks in you. Hello? Don't worry about it, huh? One more verse in Acts chapter 20, verse 29. Acts 20, 29. Paul's telling us one more thing here about the wolves. You need to identify with the wolf. You need to know what a wolf is. Okay, Acts chapter 20, verse 29. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, saying, right out of your church groups shall they rise. Okay, speaking what? Perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn you, every one night and day with tears. For 3 years he taught them and he warned them. One of these days I'm not going to be here. What you going to do when I'm gone? You better hear my words ringing in your ears. Watch. This thing of church religion has become a competition no less than the NFL football, the NBA championships, hockey championships, or World Series. Who can get the biggest crowd in the biggest place? And that's what religion is about today. It's not about the changing of our hearts, and that's the only reason God came and brought His Son in humanity, was to change our hearts and our condition to bring us back to Him. True or false? Okay, then where is that at in the church realm? Nobody's trying to change anybody. They just set a bunch of rules and regulations and said, if you step off this line, kind of like when the service, we had this red line around the brig, certain areas, red line brig, and you step across, they shot you. And that's exactly what the church does. It's like a red line brig in the military. You cross the line, they don't have no fences. They got armed guards. Step across, they just shoot you. That's the truth. The Marine Corps had it in Vietnam. They didn't have time to build no fences. You just come across that red line painted and they shoot you. No question that. Don't say I dropped something, went to pick it up, you're dead. You can't argue anything. And that's what the church has done. They set rules and regulations like a red line brig. They lock you up, shoot you if you come across. Because the church is one that does kill their wounded, you know. Okay. Do you understand what I'm trying to say there? God's talking to leadership of the church. And if anybody has the drawing to be ministry, okay, God's drawing you in that direction, you've got to know that you are the one that's got to walk in this perfection. Jesus came and Jesus did not say, I'm going to do what I want to do and Father, I'll catch up with you later in the next life. See, He said, not my will, but thy will be done. Nobody else's. Mine's not important. And that's what we have to do as leadership or as sons of God. Everything in my life has got to go aside and be what He wants. Okay? But look what it says there. Verse 4. Then shall they cry unto the Lord, but He will not hear. Literally the word hear is not there. He will not respond to them. You know, God doesn't have a hearing problem. You know that? God doesn't have a hearing problem, but He doesn't respond if He doesn't want to. You can't manipulate Him and make Him respond. You just can't. He hears everything. He just doesn't respond if He doesn't want to. He will even hide His face, that's His identity, His presence, from them at the time. Now notice that. He'll hide it from them at the time. Did He say for eternity? He said, for at the time, I'm going to withdraw from them, and I'm going to hide my face from them. They won't really know who I am. Now, it says as. The word as there in the King James literally should be because. Because they have what? It says behave themselves ill. Literally it says they've been evil. In their what? In their doings, their deeds, their actions. See, that's what the problem is. See, I can't say I got a good heart and lie to my neighbor. Right. I can't say I got a good heart and steal. See, because that's not the fruit of a good heart, is it? The love, the fruit of the Spirit, there's the heart fruit that we need. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, understanding. See, all these things, that's what we need. And that's the fruit that has to come out of our heart if we are truly sons of God. If we see anything other than that come out of our heart, what do we need to do? We need to throw whatever that was on the fire. We need to repent. We need to change the way we think about something. Because if Shannon came to me today and made me mad, then what's the problem? Me. See, I'm the problem. If Shannon came to me and made me mad, I got a problem in my heart. There's something wrong. It's not the pure heart I'm after, is it? See, I've got to take every one of these thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ, the anointing. See, if I take that captive, it Shannon come to me and say anything she wants to, do anything she wants to, and I'm still not going to get mad. See, that if I take everything captive. If I take everything captive. If I let that thing get loose and start running in this dust bowl up here, whew, man, it's hard to tell what's going to happen. That's right. They have to be under your feet. Have to be under your feet, every one of them. Okay, verse 5. Thus saith the Lord concerning the what? Well, you underline that word because it doesn't say prophet. It says false prophet. They hid that part of it from you. It's not just prophet. A true prophet is a great thing. See? But guess what? Them false prophets, he said. Watch out. Watch out for the false prophets. I think he said it in, where was it? Peter said something about watching out for the dogs. Okay, thus saith the Lord concerning the false prophets that make my people err. What do they do? Where's that Living Bible? I want to see that. They cause my people to err. That means to cause from safety, truth, and virtue. They cause them to roam away from safety, truth, and virtue. We got a problem here, haven't we? You know what the church is doing today? They're telling you the main thing is make sure you got your tithes ready. We pass the basket. Don't miss the rapture. Make sure your ticket's validated for the rapture. All these things that they come up with. But what did he say the main thing was? These prophets are causing the people to err because they're not teaching the nature of God. They're teaching the thought processes of humanity. And the only way you can address that is say it's humanistic teaching. Coming from the human concept, not from the God concept, by the Spirit. That bite with their teeth. And that isn't the correct word either. You know what kind of teeth it says they bite with? Serpent's teeth. Huh. Serpent's teeth. They've dressed this thing up and made it real pretty. Oh, they just nibbled that a little bit. He said they bite with a serpent's tooth. You know what a serpent's teeth does to you? Punctures big holes in you. It poisons your body. Because you know what? Snakes without venom don't have fangs. Serpents don't have teeth like that unless they're poisonous. You know that? They just got little sandpaper looking things in there. If they got fangs and teeth, they're going to hurt you. They're poisonous. Okay? Just a second. Okay. And cry what? Peace? Literally that word there is health, prosperity, and peace. They biting you with the serpent's teeth and saying health, prosperity, and peace. Well, they just put poison into you. Isn't that an oxymoron? They bite you and then they tell you health, prosperity, and peace, but they just poisoned you. That's what it is. I love you, brother, but you're a no good, dirty, rotten sinner going to hell. Now, what part of love is that? If somebody comes to you, first of all, and you've all experienced this in your church experiences, oh, we love you, but, oh, you better get your first aid kit out. Because if someone tells you they love you, but, they're just getting ready to rip your head off. So you better get the first, or call 911 or something, because they're just getting ready to do you in. They're going to chop you up for that pot where they talked about earlier in the first few verses. Okay? If they put that butt there, you're in trouble. Here's a real good kicker here. Look at this. And he that puts not in their mouths, They even prepare or make war against him. You know what that is? You don't put in their what? The mouth. How did the prophet, how did the priest live in that day? Tell me. By the tithe. That's what he's talking about here. If you don't put it in the basket, they're going to make war against you. You know what that means? You're my enemy. That's what they're telling you. You don't support me, you're robbing God. You ever heard that one? But if you'll do it, I'll open the windows and give you everything you ever desired or wanted. If he gave you everything you desired or wanted, you'd be in hell. You would, because you'd consume yourself with all that stuff and you wouldn't even care about God. They don't have no context of what Malachi said. Someday I'll preach that. When I can get to it, when he gets me there. It's not even the context he's talking about. My God, they don't understand it. Let me read you this out of the Living Bible. Hey, have you got the NIV there? Pull that one up too. Chapter 3, verse 5. I want to read you verse 5. This is out of the Living Bible. It says, "You false prophets, you who lead his people astray, you who cry peace to those who give you food and threaten those that will not pay you." That's pretty obvious, isn't it? They threaten you when you don't pay them. This is God's message to you. Then, well, that's the next verse. I'll let go. Read the NIV to him. Yeah.
It says, "This is what the Lord says. As for the prophets who lead my people astray, if one feeds them, they proclaim peace. If he does not, they prepare to wage war against him."
Hmm. "Oh, if you're giving good to me, oh, they're good people. Well, you know, I saw them cheating somebody. Oh, they're good people. They didn't mean anything by it. Well, I seen him hurt somebody. Why, they're good people. Man, they give real good. See? That's just the way he is. But he's a good person. He's a good giver. See? I've heard all that crap. I've heard every bit of it. And you know what? It's not godly. I'm sorry. And the amount of money that comes in has no bearing on whether you're a friend or a foe. Has no bearing. See? The only thing you're supposed to give is what God puts in your heart. If he don't worry about it. No condemnation. I don't think anybody's ever heard me preach on tithes. Now, we might hit the subject because you can't help it because it's all over the book. See? But I don't preach on it because it's not an issue. If it's an issue, you'll preach it. So when you go to the churches and hear everybody preaching about tithing, it's because it's their issue, because they're making war against you because you didn't feed them, see, the way they wanted to be fed. Yeah. I've seen and heard nightmares about these people that have fist fights and threaten to leave. We'll close the church down. We'll burn the church down if you don't give me the salary I want. I'll set it on fire and burn it down. I mean, I've heard things like that. Physically, burn the place down so you can't have a place. And people, oh my God, we've got to give him what he wants. And then he says, therefore, this is what he's saying to the men and women. He's talking about leadership that's working under this spirit. Therefore, night shall be unto you that you shall not have a vision, and it shall be dark to you that you shall not divine, and the sun shall go down over the prophets, and the day shall be dark over them. What's he saying? You ain't going to hear from God. You're going to have no vision of the Spirit. See? You can go into 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse about 31. Don't quote me exactly, but if you look close, you'll find it. He said, the day will come when I will cut off all the old men from the altar. From Israel. All of them. He's not talking about old white-haired men. He's talking about mature people. Ain't nobody going to come to maturity because of the wickedness in their hearts. And then he turns around in the next verse and says, but the ones I don't cut off. See? Now God wasn't confused and he didn't double talk. He just said, I'm going to cut everybody off from maturity. He said, but the ones I don't cut off are going to be the immature ones. And I'm going to leave them there for this reason. That they can consume your vision, your eyes, which is your vision, and to grieve your heart. Well, when you're consumed, your vision's consumed, you don't have any, do you? And when you're grieved in your heart, who are you thinking about? Yourself. Humanistic views, looking back into the man instead of looking into Christ. And he said, I'm going to leave them immature people stand on that altar for that very reason. Just like he said in Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9, 10, 11, I think that's where it's at. He says, if you refuse to receive, it says believe, King James, but it's receive. If you refuse to receive the love of the truth, I'll send you a great delusion and you will believe the immature, lying baby prophets. That's what he's saying. The ones who don't want to grow up. The ones who are, because of the wickedness in their heart, they won't lay it aside. Okay? I hope the world hears me. Then shall the seers be ashamed, and the diviners shall be embarrassed. Not confounded. They'll be embarrassed. You know why they're going to be embarrassed? Because they can't come out and say anything. God's tied their tongue. He won't let them have a vision. He won't let them speak. They're surely not going to speak the word of God, so they're going to have to come up with their own words. And you know what? When you're left to yourself, your heart is continually evil and wicked. And they know it. Look here. Yea, they shall all what? Cover their lips. What are we going to do? Because there is no what? The word is reply. There's no reply from God. They're crying to God, but nothing happens. See? There's the problem. The problem is not crying to God. God don't have a problem hearing. God has a problem replying to someone that has that serpent nature, that beastly raving inward part that's not been dealt with. He's not going to put the true riches of the kingdom in somebody's hands who can't be trusted with the big beggarly elements of this world. If I can't be trusted with a few dollars, you think he's going to give me the keys to the kingdom of life and peace? But see, they think they can. They think they can, can't they? All right, Benjamin's listening good this morning. Yep. They're not going to hear what the Spirit has to say. Verse 8. Oh, here's the prophet speaking. Now, come on now. You're not supposed to be too bold. Now, here's a man jumping up right in the midst of them and says, but truly, or literally, on the contrary, is what the language says. On the contrary, he's talking about the false prophets he's already talked about. On the contrary, I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord and of justice and might to declare, and this word declare means to stand out boldly and opposite by the word from your mouth. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. As long as it's by the Spirit of God, you can be bold and stand out from them. It's okay. See? But you got to do it by the Spirit. Okay? And he stood up and said, I am full of power. You know what they do to you today if you stand up and do that in the church world? They'd probably call 911, have you committed. Or they'd write you up or something, you know. It's okay. It's okay. Because Jesus rocked the whole foundations of their system when he came in and said, I am the Son of God. When he said, I am, they knew what he was saying. I am that I am, Exodus 3:14. They knew what I am was. I exist. I am everything, all power. See? He rocked their boats real easily. You know the old saying I use, don't let anybody know where your goat is or is tied. Don't let no one know where your goat's tied or they'll get it. See, he knew where their goat was tied. And he could get it anytime he wanted to. He was in their pocketbook, that's right. Okay, where am I at? 8. To declare unto Jacob his what? His transgressions. Now, do you know there can't be a transgression until the law has come? You can't transgress a law if there hasn't been a law. See? So there had to be a law for this to come. So he was showing him where he missed his mark. He transgressed the law. And to Israel, his sin. See, Jacob was in transgression, but he got a nature change to the name of Israel, right? And then guess what? Then he could see his sin where he missed the mark. See? Sin's not a bad thing. I mean, everybody says, whoa, missing the mark, doing something wrong is not a bad thing. It's the only way you're going to learn the truth. You've got to learn by experience. See? I can't tell you, be perfect. Now, all you just go out here today and be perfect because I said so. Is that going to change anybody? But when you lay your hand to something that has a serpent in it and it bites you, you're going to think before you pick it up again. See, that was an experience that you had to have. You've got to have that serpent nature around. If you don't have the positive, will you ever get the negative? See? If you got the negative, you'll never get by without the positive, will you? You got to have both of them to make it work. God designed the whole thing. It's not by coincidence. Look at verse 9. Hear this, and that's hear intelligently with the intent to respond. So I pray you, you heads of the house of Jacob. Who's he talking to? Leadership. Talking to people that are truly sons of God. It's going to stand up and deliver creation and bring in the ministry of reconciliation to the world. Do you hear that? That's what our job is. We have to hear. And you princes of the house of Israel that abhor judgment and pervert what? What? Literally, righteousness and all that is right. Okay? Equality. You pervert everything that is right. See, that's why he's talking about these other ministries. They build up Zion with blood. Oh my. And Jerusalem with evil. How do they build up? What was the word? How do they build up Zion? Zion's the highest point, but they build it with blood and not love. Something's wrong. They figure the more blood they shed, just like the all on the sacrifice, the altar of the animals, the more blood they shed, that's what it is. And see, the church world today is doing the same thing. They're slaughtering beasts, all right, but it's us. It's people. They're slaughtering us, and with their blood is how they build their big churches. It's okay. It ain't going to last. I know that. Because he said in Isaiah 5, even the great and fair shall be without inhabitant. He's going to take them all down. Because the only thing going to be left is Mount Zion, the real Mount Zion, the real heavenly Jerusalem. Verse 11, the leaders or the heads thereof judge for what? Bribes. Money. Reward. Say it any way you want to. It's all about the money. What did he say in Timothy? The love of money is the root of all evil. What people think. You know, money back then was just gold and silver, just a mineral they pulled out of the earth. We could have chose dirt and made it money if we wanted to. And people still have the same greed in their heart, see. It's not talking about that's so precious, it's just what we think. Money could be anything. Because they used to have the barter system, they changed rocks or sticks or animals' teeth or anything they traded that they thought was valuable. Just like America traded the Indians out of their inheritance, their land, for $26 worth of plastic beads or some kind of little trinkets. Glass beads. Didn't have plastic back then. It was pretty and looked good. They didn't know the difference. And that's what's happening to us. They are just trading us away for reward. Okay? And the priests thereof teach for what? Literally for wages or a hire. And that's what's going on. They have been trained. You tell them this and they'll give you that much money. And I know people that won't even travel this country unless you put a figure up front. There's people that years ago that say, $500, send it to me now and I'll show up when you want me. They want their money up front before they ever leave their house. And this is in advance. They ain't gonna go out and buy no ticket or make no reservations, no place on to come and see you unless they got the money to pay for all that plus some before they leave. Sounds like for wages, doesn't it? You know, prophets for hire didn't have a very good standing in this book. No, they sure didn't. And it says the prophets thereof divine for money. That's like, you know, there was a woman, I won't say her name, don't need to. There's a woman that come to this county. Ed knows who I'm talking about. And she went up to the lodge up here. Ed told me the story. It happened right to his family. And this woman come up here to the lodge, and she sat up there and had these meetings. And when it was over with, you know, you had to fill cards out so they knew who you were and know something about you. Well, Ed at that time had a very prosperous business. So they called his wife and said, hey, for $5,000, you can have a private audience with this lady. And she'll prophesy to you for $5,000. See, they went down the card and said, whole business, hey, this one can do it. This will be $5,000. Well, this over here, well, they just work a little measly job. Maybe we can get them for a couple hundred. Can you believe people do that? See? Ed can verify it happened to his family. $5,000 just to talk to the woman. Oh my gosh. and say, is not the Lord among us? Nothing evil can come upon us because God's with us. See, he's telling us all these good things. See, they didn't divine anything. They didn't hear something. They didn't discern something. They read a card. They got information on you. And they smoke you every day. They're doing it every day. They'll chop you up and put you in the pot. Isaiah 45:7, what's it say? I create light, I create peace, I create darkness, I create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. See? Come upon us because I'm saying, thus saith the Lord. Excuse me, that won't cut it. Okay? Amos 3:6 says this, shall there be evil in a city and the people not be afraid? Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in the city and I, the Lord, hath not done it? I want to read you one more out of Job. Everybody know where Job is? Right before Psalms. Okay? Job chapter 2, verse 10. Job chapter 2, verse 10. I'll read verse 9 and start the context, but this is Job speaking with his wife. Now, we know this is not Job and his literal wife. We know this is the soul speaking to the man, the Christ within. Okay? Then said his wife to him, do thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. Hello. Right here's where the sin comes from. See, when you don't believe God, you speak contrary to God. He said, shall we receive evil and not good, good and not evil from God? It's the man of understanding. He spoke by the Spirit. He knew that God did both ways. Didn't say he wasn't natural, and didn't say he didn't try to avert some of it like he did in his life, but guess what? He didn't need them three friends that he had to go with him. You know what I mean? And you don't need them three friends. Your friends you're going to have that's going to talk to you all this trash. All you need to do is talk to God. And see, he was talking to God and them too, and that's what brought the confusion. Okay. Verse 12. Therefore, see, after he said what these priests are doing, therefore, for this reason, shall Zion, for your sake, no, because of you, be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem shall become a ruin, and the mountain of the house as the high places of the forest. You know what the high place in the forest looks like? Look at these mountaintops. What do they look like? There's no trees up there. There's nothing up there. They're going to be ruined. Desolate. They're a place of idolatry, too. They went to the high places to worship. He said, but the house is going to be destroyed and ruined because of these things, what they're doing. Zion, for your sake, shall be plowed because of you. And the mountain, right? The highest place of the house as the high places of the forest. It's going to be a wiped out, bald place. Like Toppy's Mountain, looked like there's no trees. When we went out west a few years ago, I mean, man, you see the mountains and trees all down here, you get to the top, and it's just like somebody scalped them. There's nothing there. Well, there's not enough of anything up there. Water or anything else. It's all barren. Yeah, too close to the sun without being purified will burn them up, I guess. But this is a message that God is bringing to the people today of leadership. There's no place to compromise. That's a word I hate, compromise. I don't believe in compromising when you know the truth. If you believe in compromising, you will. Right? Why even believe in it? If there's only one truth, didn't he say, I am the way? One way. There's only one way, there's only one truth, there's only one life, and it's him. And if anything else, it's compromise. And you know what? I'm not compromising. I've never been a compromiser, and I thank God for that. I'm not taking any personal credit for it. Because God is the one that designs us. He's the one that writes in our heart. He places it within us. What can we crow about? What have we got to be proud about? Nothing. I'm just thankful that he did it. You know, if he'd have made me a different way, Bob, I could have been a popular guy if I'd just compromised. I could have been a popular guy. But you know what? I like it where I'm at because I know the truth. And knowing the truth is not some intellectual understanding. I have a relationship with my father and my older brother and a lot of my younger brothers, but there's more coming. There's more coming.